LiveWire with Ling Pang.
Hi, this is Ling Pang for LiveWire. I'm delighted to be joined by actor, singer and film director Donnie Most for Story Behind the Song. Welcome to LiveWire. How are you?
Hi, Ling. I'm doing very well, thank you. Nice to see you again.
Thank you. What mystery song you have for us?
Okay, well, this song is one that was originally from a play, a German play. Mm-hmm. And I think the play was written in 1927, but it premiered in 1928, I think in Berlin. The name of the play, should I give the name of the play? Is that okay?
Or yes, you can. Yes.
The name of the play was called The Three Penny Opera, written by Kurt Weill and Bertolt Brecht. And why it became, and then there was an English version of the play that was done 1933. And then later on, one that ran off Broadway in New York, an English version in 1954. Now, I didn't become aware of the song. I grew up I was born in 1953. So I heard it as a recording that happened later. A mm-hmm. recording that, and I didn't even hear the recording when it first came out. The recording I'm referring to came out in 1959. I was only 6 years old, but it was later. I was going to a school in New York City. Outside of my regular school, I would go on Saturdays to a studio to learn and work on singing and dancing and acting. And so I was in this studio, and then there were other students there, and one of the other students would do a song. I heard him working on a song, and it was like, wow, what song is that? I'd never heard it. And I immediately loved the song, and especially he did a great job of singing it and performing it. So I went to look for it to find the record. Now, I knew the artist because...
Well, in person?
No, I didn't know the artist in person. I knew who the artist was. Because in about 1962, my mom took me and my sister to Radio City Music Hall in New York City. That was like a special treat, an event to go to Radio City to see a movie. And that was probably on a Sunday afternoon. And I was about, 10 years old or maybe 11, 10 or 11. And I think it was 11. And we saw this movie. And in the movie, I guess I could tell you the name. The name of the movie was Come September. And there was... One of the co-stars of the movie, one of the main stars of the movie, was in it, and he sang a song in the movie. And I remember leaning over to my mom and going, who is that? Because, I was like really, really mesmerized and taken by the singer and his charisma and his delivery and everything and his voice. And she told me his name. And I said, oh, wow. And then I remembered I looked up when I was at a record store not too long after that. I was going through a bin of records, and I saw an album by that artist. So I picked up the album, and I loved it. I'd sing along to all of the songs that the artist did on that album. And the song that the mystery song was not on that album. But then... As I mentioned, when I heard the song, I found out it was by the same artist that I had seen in that movie that I had got an album of his. So then I said, oh, well, I have to go get that album. So I went and got that album. And then I would sing along to this song. Oh, my God, I can't tell you how many times over and over, because I loved it so much. And I loved it so much so that then when I started, pursuing singing a little more seriously, and then when I was in college or around family, if there was some situation where I would get up and sing for whatever reason, there might have been a band or something, I would sing this song, and everyone knew me for that song, and they would request me to sing it sometime.
Did that song inspire you to start your own singing career at the time? So that song made a good impression on you?
Yeah, it, very strong impression on me, to the point where, you know, I mean, that's right. It was embedded in my brain. I mean, I would just sing it all the time. And then, funny thing is, I got to meet the artist. I was about 18 years old, and I was going into New York City for an audition for a commercial. This was some couple of years before I ever did Happy Days. Mm-hmm. And I heard that this artist was going to be a surprise replacement for, they did these summer concerts in New York in Central Park. And I heard that he had to replace somebody who they had to cancel the last minute. And he was going to be replacing him. So I said, I'm going, you know, I was already in the city because I lived in Brooklyn. Yeah. So I was already in New York City. So I said in Manhattan. So I went over to Central Park. It was early. It was like hours before the concert.
Yeah.
But I heard them doing a sound check or rehearsing. So I waited, looking for a door where I could see, but I couldn't get in. And then I'm waiting around. And then all of a sudden, I see him walking down this path with a little boy. And I was so excited. I'm normal. I was pretty shy, but I could not resist. I had to go up to him and say hello.
Yeah.
And I think I said to him something crazy, like I said his name, and I said, you know, I think I've sung, and the name of the song, more than you have. And he was very, very well known for the song, very well known. And I said, I think I've sung it more than you have. And
What did he say?
And he just kind of looked at me like, and kind of smiled, you know, but I think he thought I was a little bit wacky because I was so excited. But then, you know, so you know, I kind of put the music, you know, then when I got into acting more seriously and then started working more and more and then got Happy Days, and I put the music aside, you know. I wound up doing it, using it in some cases where I had musical theater and stuff like that. But for the most part, I put those dreams of doing that kind of music aside and concentrate on acting and then directing.
Mm-hmm.
But then this music came back, this style of music came back into vogue again in the late 80s, 90s. So I decided about 6 years ago, if I ever was going to do this, I needed to start. And I put together an act and all this kind of music, and I would almost always end my show with this song. It's like become sort of like my signature song now, because people know me and they request it and they hope that I do it. And I haven't recorded it yet. I have an album out called The Most Mostly Swinging. And I did another song, a couple of other songs on that album by this artist, but I didn't do this one yet. I didn't want to. To me, it was like too hallowed ground, too, it would be, you know, like I didn't want to touch it. It was too precious, you know. Now maybe I'll record it at some point, but I always close with it. And an interesting thing about the song also is that the artist who did it, he was getting, everyone told him he should not record this song.
Why was that?
Well, he was getting pretty well known, and his career was doing, he was doing pretty well doing rock and roll. You know, this was 1950, you know, he started recording in 57, 58, and he had some pretty big successes early on with rock and roll. And then this song was not in the rock and roll genre. But he loved this style of music too. And he always wanted to do that. But people said, even Dick Clark, was very well known for saying, oh, you'll ruin your career. And he advised this artist very strongly about not, he shouldn't do it. And a lot of people told him it was a big mistake and he should not do it. But the artist was strong about it, stubborn and smart.
Knew he followed what he wanted his to do. Heart.
Yes, yes, absolutely. That's exactly right. He was feeling it in his heart, and something was telling him, you know, no, I'm gonna do this song, and do this album, in this very different style from what he had previously released. It's a good thing he did follow his heart, because it changed his career. You know, it definitely changed his career. It was a big turning point. It became record of the year for 1959. You know, the this particular single, the album did really well, and he also won a Grammy, you know, for record of the year and best new artist of the year. Even though he wasn't a new artist, they gave it to him, I guess, because for that genre it was new. And then it opened up a world for him, and he started doing that music in that style, you know, at some of the top, you know, nightclubs in New York and all in Vegas and all around. And also opened up a movie career for him. He started doing movies.
That's amazing. Well, yeah. One song could lead you to all these opportunities. Very powerful. Yeah. I find music is very powerful, you know.
Absolutely. It's very powerful. It could be therapeutic.
Yeah.
And it's so emotional and uplifting and you know, great for the soul when it's the right music, I guess. So this song, when I was asked, you know, to do this with you and pick a song where there was a story, it was pretty, right away it came to mind, and it was pretty easy choice because it had meant so much to me at the beginning of me pursuing music, and it is ongoing as I still do it, you know, usually at the end of every show. And I recently had a version of it that I posted. I've posted on YouTube, which I hadn't. I don't know why I didn't, but I posted it recently. And there was another version of this song that I posted some years ago and really good response. But this one I posted was a newer version that I did with like a big band, you know, a big 17-piece orchestra. And I guess I could say it was written by, as I said, Kurt Weill, the original lyrics by Bertolt Brecht, but then the English lyrics were done by Mark Blitzstein. Then, in 1955, so the artist that I'm talking about did this in 1959, but in 55, there was another artist, a very well-known artist in America, who did a version of it. And I think that kind of led him to doing it, because once he heard this other person do his version, I think it, like, you know, he probably was a fan and then led him to do his version, which was very, you know, he wasn't copying the artist at all. He made it his own. And like I said, became record of the year. So I don't know if I could mention the prior artist who did it. Is that?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So in 1955, it was done by Louis Armstrong.
Love his music. Love his music.
So Louis Armstrong did it. And that's in 55. And this other artist did it in 59. Mm-hmm. Then there was another famous recording shortly after the one in 59. In 1960, Ella Fitzgerald did a version of it that is pretty famous. It was a live version that was recorded. And in it, early on, she forgot the lyrics. And she started just making up and improvising. And it's a very famous recording of that same song. There was a movie made about this artist in the early 2000s. And so people would have heard the song in the movie. It was a movie called Beyond the Sea. And Beyond it was about sea. It was a biopic about the artist, and it was played by Kevin Spacey, who played the artist. So then there, you know, people who might not have known the song would know it if they saw the movie, you know, in the early 2000s. So that's another place where, you know, it had a lot of exposure. Well, in the movie that I mentioned, Come September, it was starring Rock Hudson and Gina Lola Brigida, and then this artist and Sandra Dee, who he married later yeah. on.
Yes.
His first name is Bobby. His real name is Robert Walden Casado, born in the Bronx in 37, died very early, sadly, very young in 1973. Bobby was nominated for Academy Award for the movie called Captain Newman, M.D., for Best Supporting Actor. He also did a great job, dramatic role in a movie with Sidney Poitier called Pressure Point. He was in a bunch of other movies. Married to Sandra Dee, and it is none other than the immortal, wonderful, fantastic Mr. Bobby Darin. And the song is Mack the Knife.
Fantastic. It's a lovely song. And thank you so much for coming.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed sharing it with you.
Oh, the shark, babe, has such teeth, dear. And it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie, babe, and it keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark bites with his teeth, babe, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves, though, wears old Maggie Heath, babe, so there's never a trace of red. Now on the sidewalk, ooh, Sunday morning, lies a body just oozing life. And someone sneaking round the corner, could that someone be Mack the Knife? There's a tugboat down by the river, don't you know, where a cement bag just drooping on down. Oh, that cement is just, it's there for the weight, dear. Five will get you 10, old Mackie's back in town. Now you hear about Louis Miller, he disappeared, babe, after drawing out all his hard-earned cash. And now Maggie Heath spins just like a sailor. Could it be our boy's done something rash? Now Jenny Diver, ho, ho, yes, Suki Tawdry, ooh, Miss Lottie Lenya, and old Lucy Brown. Now that Maggie's back in town. I said, Jenny Diver, whoa, Suki Tawdry, look out to Miss Lottie Lenya and old Lucy Brown. Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie. Back in town. Look out, old Mac is back.
Livewire is produced by Steve Osborne Media. Steve Osborne Media.